This is All Sides Weekend, and I'm Amy Jurevich. And with all the rain and severe weather hitting our area over the past few weeks, you may be ready for a getaway. But don't venture too far from home. Ohio has a lot to offer, both the summer adventurer and the summer beach bum. Today on the show, we'll be talking about enjoying the great outdoors in the Buckeye State, and we'll help you plan the perfect staycation. With me in the studio for our Summer in Ohio discussion is Columbus Alive reporter and venture columnist John Ross. Welcome.
Good morning, Amy. How are you?
And also with us is Columbus travel writer Steve Stevens. Welcome.
Hi, Amy. It's great to be here.
And Columbus and Franklin County Metro Parks information manager Peg Hanley. Welcome, Peg.
Hi, Amy.
And we want to hear from you. Where do you visit each summer in and around the Buckeye State? We want your recommendations. 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Now, I heard on NPR this morning that there is 20 feet of snow at Yellowstone this weekend. So we're not going to be going to Yellowstone. But here in Ohio, we're ready for summer. We're ready. And John, when people ask you, you know, what is there to do this summer? What do you do in Ohio? What do you normally tell them?
You know, the first thing I tell people is usually, you know, that we have a lot to offer here. You know, we have a lot of things. You know, I've said, I think, on this show that Ohio is the intermediate day trip capital of the world. So, you know, we don't have some of those big ticket items. You know, we don't have 20 feet of snow in the mountains. We don't have, 20-foot swells coming in on an ocean coast or something like that. But we do have a lot of different ecosystems, a lot of different habitats to explore. You know, I tend, you know, to tell people, you know, go out and hike a metro park. You know, if you're, you know, just kind of jumping into the Ohio outdoors, you know, we've got tons of places, you know, just within, you know, 20 minutes of downtown Columbus, and then let alone across the state. And I think, you know, one of the things that's cool about Ohio is that, you know, you think you know it pretty well, and then boom, something just comes up onto your radar that's totally new. Like this weekend, I'm going up to Oak Openings, which is near Toledo. It's actually in a small town called Swanton, about 20 miles south of that city. And it's this, you know, there's a 16-mile loop trail in a metro park, and it goes through various habitats. There's some dunes there. There's these special prairies that are called Oak Openings because they have only a certain number of trees. So really cool habitat for, like, ground nesting birds and some mammals and stuff like that. So, you know, something like, you know, I think, wow, I've hiked all the long trails in Ohio, and then I guess I haven't.
And you found a new one.
Yeah.
So John Ross says to anyone who says there's nothing to do in Ohio, go take a hike. Right? That's my cheesy comment for the day. So, Steve, when people tell you there's nothing to do in Ohio, I got to get out of town, where do you tell them to go?
Well, I guess it depends on their interest. I love a lot of the historical sites in Ohio. I mean, Ohio is full of history. And this year, it's the Sesquicentennial of the beginning of the Civil War, and although there weren't really any battles fought in Ohio, there are
Sesquicentennial. Say that three times.
I've been practicing.
Yeah,
dreamed about saying that. Yeah. There are many historical sites connected, and I'm going to spend part of my summer exploring some of those. There's the Ulysses Grant Boyhood Home down in Point Pleasant, the Sherman House in Lancaster. Where Sherman spent a lot of time. We had some great Civil War generals here. Phil Sheridan, there is a statue of him and his horse in his hometown of Somerset over in Perry County, which I've never seen, but I'm going to put it on my list this summer to check out that life-size statue of Phil Sheridan and his horse. The horse, I just learned, happens to be stuffed and is at the Smithsonian.
Oh,
so
wow.
The facts you learn just doing a little bit of research on Ohio history is amazing. So that's on my list of things to do.
Great. Historical site. That's a good recommendation, too. And Peg, where when people say, oh, there's nothing to do, which metro park do you normally send them to?
I think I'd send them this weekend because it might be dry there. I think I'd send them to Slate Run. Mm. And because this is like the unofficial first weekend of summer, I would tell them to go picnic there. We've got lots of grills. And then I would have them maybe take a hike on the Five Oaks Trail, walk off all those calories from the potato salad and the hamburgers. And, you know, Amy, I'd also
How long is the Five Oaks Trail?
It's about 2.5 miles.
That's a good one.
It's a pretty steep one, but it's fun. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, following along with what John and Steve said, you know, I don't like to always hog Franklin County Metro Parks, but I really do. But there are about 45 other metro parks throughout Ohio. John just talked about Toledo Metro Parks, but Cleveland's got some great things. They have the zoo. Five Rivers, just in Dayton, has mountain bike trails, just about anything you can think of. So if you can't make it to one of our metro parks, you've got your choice in 45 different counties to go to.
There's even a castle in a metro park up in Lake County, which I wrote about recently. So there is all kinds of things in Ohio metro parks.
Well, tell us a little bit about the castle.
Well, the castle was actually supposed to be the gatehouse for an even grander castle. It was a man who was connected with Standard Oil up there in Cleveland, and he was going to build apparently his vast estate. He built a gatehouse, which has gables and turrets, and is now actually kind of a picnic shelter up there. It's been outside of it's been restored, and so you can actually go inside this castle and explore a little bit, but another fun Ohio history fact.
Great.
We do have a few castles.
A castle. Well,
or what they call castles.
The Macatee, don't we?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Those are other great places to visit.
What is that? The Macatee?
Castle.
Steve, you know
yeah, Castle Macatee yeah. in Macatee. It's in Logan County, southern Logan County, near Bell Fountain. And they were actually owned by brothers who were the Piotts. And Don Piatt was actually an ambassador, U.S. ambassador. He was a publisher, a journalist, and actually quite active in politics around the time of the Civil War. But he and his brother owned some land that was in their family and built two beautiful homes, castles.
Competing castles?
Competing castles. and
I'm picturing who made the taller or whose entryway is bigger. Yeah.
Well, you can go up there and you can compare them for yourselves. But they are still owned by the family, by the Piatt family.
Are they open for tours?
They're open for tours. They have a nonprofit foundation, and they're open and they're beautiful. And, a lot of Ohio history right there.
Great. 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. You can also post a comment on the All Sides Facebook page. Tell us where you like to venture and have your adventures in Ohio in the summer. And we have Jerry on the line. Jerry, what's your recommendation?
Good morning. The speaker there reminded me of when my son and I took that Top of Ohio bike ride and went by those two castles plus the Ohio Caverns. It's a 35-mile routed bike route, but that was over 35 years ago. But I wanted to mention the Wolf Run State Park.
Okay.
I don't know if any of you have ever been there. It's 20 miles south of Cambridge, right off I-77. You go 70 to Cambridge, 20 miles south, you see the sign, Wolf Run State Park.
It's near Marietta, right? Is that around?
Oh, no, it's closer to Cambridge.
Okay, got it.
Probably equidistant.
Okay. What do you like to do at Wolf Run State Park, Jerry?
You can fish for trout. I don't know. I'm not quite up to speed on it. It's been about a year and a half ago since we were down there, and they've got a Conestoga cabin, which is a very small cabin that you can rent or take your tent or trailer or whatever. And it has a Buckeye Trail running on the west side of the lake. It's got an earthen dam at one time, and I don't know about today, but it had the cleanest water of any lake in Ohio. And on the east side is the only fly-in campground in the state of Ohio, which is at the Noble County Airport. And also, nearby is a covered wooden bridge that you can drive to and see, and also the site of the crash of the Shenandoah, the dirigible, which I think was in 1926. Maybe Mr. Stevens can help me out on that. I think it was 26. But just a delightful area there, and get some beautiful vistas in the distance. And it's a Class B campground, so you don't get all the riffraff in. They've got to have their color TV and everything.
All right. Well,
thank
you very much
for
that. Yeah.
Taking my call, and have a wonderful weekend, folks.
You too, Jerry. Thank you. And, John, you just wrote about Wolf Run State Park, didn't you?
Yeah, thanks, yeah. Jerry, for bringing that up. That's a great segue. Wolf Run is a really interesting state park. It's a little bit smaller, and it's pretty remote. Like you said, it's just off I-77. What I really liked about it was a great paddling lake. I bought a kayak last year, and this was one of the first places I took it out this year. And it's a cool little finger lake. You know, it's got little, you know, kind of little branches that go into these, you know, pretty forested hills. And like Jerry said, there's great vistas there. There were these, you know, some giant boulders where I just kind of pulled off and ate lunch, and it was just wonderful. You know, Finger Lakes are really good paddling lakes because you don't get, you know, a lot of chop or a lot of wind coming through. It's just a really beautiful place to paddle.
Now, tell me what he was talking about when he said that there's a fly-in campsite.
Well, I have to be honest. I drove. I've never flown in anywhere. But, yeah, like he said, it's a small little Noble County airstrip that there are some fly-in campsites. And he's right. That's the only place in Ohio with anything like that. I'm not really sure what the audience is for that amenity, but if you can do that and go to Wolf Run, if you've got your own plane and a tent, I guess, Wolf Run is your place.
It's also one of the few places in Ohio that you can actually fish for trout, because Ohio's not a great state for trout, but you can, if you're lucky, and it's diminished over the years, but you can get rainbow trout in that lake.
Okay. So. All right. Great. Well, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. This is All Sides Weekend on 89.7 NPR News, and we're talking about enjoying summer activities and summer getaways in and around Ohio. Where would you like to recommend? 614-292-8513. This is All Sides Weekend on 89.7 NPR News.
Peter Sagal here. So we've got a bit of a problem. We expected to be raptured last weekend, so we didn't really plan a show for this week. Did Joe Biden say anything goofy? How about John Boehner? Did he cry? We're hoping the apocalypse just got caught in traffic and will be here any moment. But if not, listen to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the news quiz from NPR.
Saturday morning at 11 on 89.7 NPR News.
Support for 89.7 comes from the Central Ohio Trauma System, working with community partners to make Central Ohio a safer place to live. Details about joining the Columbus Medical Association Foundation and supporting the Central Ohio Trauma System are at goodhealthcolumbus.org.
There are many ways to get the latest local news. Follow WOSU News on Twitter or find WOSU on Facebook. Get headlines delivered to your email by subscribing to our daily news loop e-newsletter at wosu.org/email.
Welcome back to All Sides Weekend. I'm Amy Jurevich on 89.7 NPR News. We're talking about summer activities and summer travel in and around Ohio. Do you have a destination or an activity you'd like to ask our panel about? 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. With me in the studio is Steve Stevens from the Columbus Dispatch, John Ross with Columbus Alive, and Peg Hanley from the Metro Parks. And we have Chris from Grandview Heights. Chris, what would you like to recommend?
My wife is a local indie musician who travels a lot, and so we don't have time at all to do anything on the weekends. We have a 7-year-old though, whose mind is like a sponge. So we love to go out on half-day trips on Sundays, which is about the only chance we get to do. So we go down. The last one we took was down to a place called Chateau La Roche, which is a crazy little kooky castle just north of Cincinnati. So we took him down there, and then after we left there, we went up to the place where the Banana Split was created.
Mm.
And after the Banana Split place, which was a quick trip, there was another place just to the north on the way home. It was a little cemetery in a little town in the middle of nowhere where a very famous Ohio mummy was buried about 65 years after he died. So it was a crazy little trip, but really fun for a 7-year-old kid.
That sounds great. Thank you very much for that recommendation, Chris. We appreciate it.
Uh-huh.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And so we had a castle mentioned, banana splits. This is great. So, Steve, tell us a little bit more.
I just visited the Chateau La Roche down near Cincinnati, and the story behind this place is fascinating. It was basically one man who built this thing over the course of 50 years by hand with cement. He had groups of people who'd help him, and kind of started out as kind of a Boy Scout project, I believe. But over 50 years, he built a complete castle. He was kind of an amateur architect and historian, and he worked on it up until he was in his 90s, I believe. And now it is still operated by the Knights of the Golden Trail, which is the group of knights who worked with him and who built the castle. And so it's I believe it's kind of a non-profit foundation. But it is...
That sounds fantastic, yeah.
It's amazing. I had never been there before. And, I mean... That is definitely on the bucket list for any Ohioan. You got to go check out Chateau La Roche or the... anyway.
Now, is there a rank above Eagle Scout? I mean, because he would probably get that if they'd started as a Boy Scout project.
Well, maybe the Knight of the Golden Trail is. It's a super secret rank above Eagle Scout.
And, John, I saw your eyes perk up a little bit when he mentioned the banana split.
Yes. Yes.
Have you been to where the banana split was invented?
I haven't, but in this week's Alive, we have a guide to local Columbus festivals and kind of some of the interesting farm and harvest and various specialty festivals that we have in Ohio throughout the summer. And Wilmington, Ohio, has a banana split festival coming up this summer. If you want kind of the full rundown of everything from the Moonshine Festival to the Feast of the Flowering Moon to the Wellston Coal Festival, check out OFEA.org. That's the Ohio Festivals and Events Association. They've got a great rundown of where all these things take place and what the things they offer are. It's very interesting. Ohio celebrates a lot of bizarre stuff. There's a duct tape festival. There's coal. There's moonshine. Walleye. There's tobacco.
Ohio,
tobacco, walleye.
Melon.
Ohio likes
melon and myelin, walleye.
There's a pawpaw festival down near Nelsonville. I mean, if you like something that you consider to be like a niche product, there is a festival in a small town in Ohio celebrating it this summer.
Excellent.
Popcorn.
Marion. Yep.
I've been to that one. Yeah. And the pumpkin show, which I know.
Yes, pumpkin show.
Yes. We made that mistake last time, I think. I think we called it a festival.
That's the last time we'll ever make that mistake.
It's a show.
Right.
Yes.
And it's a great show.
The website you mentioned, OFEA.org, for a list of festivals.
Yep.
We'll link that site at WOSU.org/allsides. 614-292-8513. And Claire's on the line. What's your recommendation?
My recommendation, I'm a historian. I live in Indiana, but I teach at Ohio State. And we regularly take vacations on what we call the Ohio Riviera. And we're very interested in the Underground Railroad. And we've been to the Freedom Museum in Cincinnati, which is fabulous. There are places to camp, of course, down along the Ohio River. And there are lots of wonderful little towns. Unfortunately, some still fly Confederate flags. They seem to have changed political positions since the Civil War time. But there are also oral history to be done. Some black families who've been down there didn't continue going. Ohio was, of course, the center of the Underground Railroad. Then I also have a question for, I hope somebody can answer. We are big fans of the metro parks in Ohio. Indiana has nothing equivalent. And we love the variety and the preservation and so on, but we want to know, how are they created, who do they belong to, who maintains them, that kind of question. We can't seem to get an answer from our acquaintances.
So. Okay, thank you very much, Claire. So let's answer the second question first, and then we'll talk about the Underground Railroad sites. So, Peg, tell us a little bit about how the Metro Parks were created.
Okay, the Metro Parks actually belong to all the residents of Ohio. They were created back in 1914. That was state law was enacted that each county could form a park district if they chose to. So there's about 45, 50 park districts similar to Franklin County, and they're funded through property tax levies typically. So that's how they were funded, and it was just very creative type of a thing of the state legislature at the time, very forward-thinking.
Mm. And they're actually politically independent, right?
Right.
They're not actually managed by the counties or by the cities.
Right. We fall under probate court, so each park district falls under the probate judge, and then he or her appoints a board of three commissioners who then determine the policy in that. So I think Ohio is pretty forward in their park systems. Most of the park, I'd say about 99% of them, like ours, Franklin County Metro Parks, are free. I think we talked a little bit about, you know, Toledo Metro Parks. Akron has a great park system. Even Delaware has a great park system.
Dayton's got some great metro parks mm-hmm. over there, too.
Yeah. Right? Great. So we're plentiful with parks in Ohio. And has anyone ever been to Claire? Thank you very much for that call, Claire. Has anyone been to any of the Underground Railroad sites that Claire mentioned?
Well, down at the Underground Railroad Museum mm-hmm. of course, that's a great site. One thing that a good underground site that is not in southern Ohio, but over in eastern Ohio, is Mount Pleasant. The town of Mount Pleasant was a hotbed of abolitionism. There are several historical sites there. Beautiful little town, downtown area. It's a great walking tour. So for Underground Railroad buffs, I would also put Mount Pleasant on my list of towns
Westerville
to visit.
Westerville also.
Oh, of course. And of course, the Kelton House in downtown Columbus is another site that has some ties to the Underground Railroad.
And another place is in Shawnee Hills, up across the way from the zoo. There's a Shaughnessy Park Preserve, but there's also Lucy Depp Park, and it's two little lakes that are great for fishing. But that was a place where after the Civil War, a lot of the blacks settled with land, and it was in itself its own little black city and community. So that's a neat little place if you want to take a little tour up there.
Great. All these little hidden things, yeah. And we have Elizabeth. Elizabeth is on the highway. Elizabeth, what would you like to recommend?
Hi, I would like to recommend the Wilds.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
What do you like about the Wilds, Elizabeth?
Well, I love it so much that I'm a member and I volunteer out there, but it is a huge area that has endangered animals from around the world. They offer about a three-hour tour in the summer every day, and you can also stay overnight. So it's just a fabulous place to see animals that you wouldn't see in this country otherwise and in a more wild-like setting.
All right. Well, thank you very much for that recommendation, the Wilds. Anyone want to add anything about the Wilds?
When she said the accommodations, they have these things called yurts. And
yes, I have seen pictures of them.
And
yes.
Those are cool for families, I mean.
Oh, yeah. The Wilds, a great place.
So it's a different type of cabin, the yurt. It's because it's not a tent, but it's...
It's sort of a tent on a platform.
It's like deluxe. It's a deluxe tent.
On a platform.
Yeah, it's not your typical.
it's not your pup tent. It's a little bit of
it's nicer than my tent. Let's put it that way, for sure.
Now, would you recommend planning? Like, can you just pick up and go to the Wilds, or do you need to, like, make a reservation or anything?
You know, I've called ahead only because I've been taking, groups of 10 or 12 or something like that. And I think that would be pretty safe to say that, you know, you would want to recommend, you know, just maybe calling ahead to see what their availability is. But, you know, I've gone with just another friend and it wasn't hard to get just on a tour. And they, I think Elizabeth said that there's multiple tours that you can go on. There's one with, you know, kind of you're in more of like a traditional bus that's closed off. But there's open air bus tours. That's what I would recommend. And like she said, it's just a really amazing conservation facility. It's one of the largest, if not the largest, in North America. It's, you know, over 10,000 acres of reclaimed strip mining land donated to a nonprofit organization by AEP after they, there were some coal operations there. And it's habitat like, you know, it's just like rolling grasslands. You look like you would be in, you know, like Central Africa or something. It's just nothing. You have to see it to believe it.
And if you're a photographer and you can't get to Africa, it's a great place to get some animal photos in a natural setting that you're not going to find anyplace else.
And they have great programs. They have some birding programs, especially if you're into raptors, eagles, and hawks. So that's another destination for birders.
And the Metro Parks, Peg, had a partnership with them. Your bison came from the
right. Our six little ladies came from the wilds, and we hope to get one of their boys quite soon. So
yeah, every time you're on the show, I like for a bison update. So how are the bison doing?
The ladies are doing fine. We moved them last week to a pasture of – they're loving this because they were in with just kind of mediocre grasses. So this last week they've been feasting on big blue stem – little blue stem, and we've got them now. I don't want to say trained because they are wild animals, but they like our orange Kubota. That's that little truck that the maintenance people, you know, use and go around, and they can actually call them. They say, come on, girls, let's move. And you see the six little bison lined up following our maintenance folks as they, you know, do their chores and that. So they're loving the new pasture. They were a little spooked at first because it's right along the roadway, so when we opened the gate to let them go into the other pasture, they thought they were escaping, so they ran the perimeter, only to discover that, oh no, we've got to find a place. So they tend to shy away from the road, but they're just loving it at our park, and the people are loving it too.
Great. And so remind everyone where the bison are and where they need to go to see them.
Okay, it's at Battelle Darby Creek Metro Park, and that's in Galloway. And then to get back to the bison, currently you have to hike about a half a mile back. But if you continue on, and on the weekends we'll have a naturalist out, and she'll have a bison pelt, teeth, and skull. But if you stay on that trail and go another half mile, you'll come to the training barn for the Galbraith family that we took over. And that family, in that particular barn, they actually raised two Kentucky Derby winners. So great. You get to see an old barn, see the bison, and just have a great time.
Great. 614-292-8513. And we have Tom from Grandview Heights on the line, and he has a recommendation for enjoying the outdoors right here in the city of Columbus. Tom, what would you like to talk about?
Hi, Amy. Hi, guest. I'd like to talk about Schiller Park. And full disclosure, I have a vested interest because I'm a member of the Actors Theater Company. And we opened our 30th season there last night with a production of The Scarlet Pimpernel, which a lot of people know the story of. It's set at the time of the French Revolution. And people either know it and love it, or it's an undiscovered treasure. And so you have a chance, without leaving the city of Columbus, to see a premiere performance of a classic work. And it's free, so there's that to be said for it. Everybody's on a budget these days.
Mm-hmm. We like free, yes.
You can get to Schiller Park by bus or by bike or in car. Or if you're fortunate enough to live in Marion Village or German Village, you can walk there.
So, Tom,
for me as an actor, it's kind of an actor's dream because best case, you get to perform before hundreds and thousands of people. And even though it's free, we encourage donations. So it's kind of like being a waiter. You get to know what kind of a job you're doing by the tips you get at the intermission and by the smiles you see on people's faces. So please consider us. We're doing 21 performances, starting with last night's performance. And we run through June the 26th, which is the last Sunday in June. And that day, we're doing two performances. We're doing a matinee that day in conjunction with the House and Garden Tour in German Village. So not just this weekend, but we'd be loving to see you anytime in the next coming weekends.
So it's on the weekends, right? Is it Friday,
8
Saturday?
O'clock, yeah, mm-hmm. 8 o'clock Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday evenings.
Great. And so for people who have never been there before, they can just show up and they can bring some food, they can make
exactly.
a picnic, and or you can
exactly.
bring some chairs. There's a section for chairs, right?
I know a guy who says it's the best summer date because it's free and you can bring whatever you want to eat or drink and have a good time and be entertained.
Sounds like fun.
Yeah.
Great.
The thing to know, though, is, as you said, you need to bring whatever you're going to sit on. And the good thing is if you sit on a blanket, you get closer to the stage. So the orchestra seats come with a blanket, but you have to provide the blanket. And if you bring a lawn chair, you sit a little further back, but it's not that far.
All right. So right now, Scarlet Pimpernel, and then there's the Actors Theater is doing after this show closes, you have another show, right?
We do, yeah. Immediately we open with Midsummer Night's Dream. And that'll be there through July, and then that light romantic comedy Oedipus Rex to close off.
Oh, wow.
Yes. So, we ventured from the Shakespeare canon because those have been done, so we try to offer some new things. And we've got Swords and Dashing Men and Beautiful Women down there for you this weekend and for the rest of June. So please consider us for your summer entertainment.
Thank you very much, Tom. We appreciate the call. Shakespeare in the Park. Yes, that's
you
a
know,
great.
He, I'm sorry. When he mentioned Schiller Park, that's just one of many of Columbus Recreation and Parks, wonderful parks. Yep. But the Park of Roses in Clintonville, they do on Sundays, they have different music ranging from barbershop quartet to the alumni band of OSU and that. Those are also free under the gazebo. So I was, you know, just thinking, following on, we have wonderful city parks in this city.
And actually, there's a pretty big new one right smack downtown called Columbus Commons.
Yeah, I believe something. I heard something about that opening yesterday.
Yeah,
you
well,
did?
Yeah, amid the monsoons, I think they did technically open to the public. And it's just going to be great. It's just a giant park just right on Capitol Square. And they're having basically this weekend, they're having, you know, four fun-filled days. They're having live music. They're having backyard barbecues. They're having kids games. You know, some of the zoo animals are coming by, live music performances just from local and national acts. It's just going to be awesome. And this really kind of sets the tone for just a really awesome activity-filled summer down there. It just seems like everybody's excited about it. There's going to be a farmer's market on Wednesday afternoons. It's basically everybody's coming together just to, like, celebrate this park. And I know my office is right on South 3rd Street, so we're pretty excited about it.
Great. You have some green space right there outside your office. That's
Absolutely.
Great.
And the library's got a wonderful program at that park. They're supplying books, and also you can come down. It's got Wi-Fi, and the librarians are going to be doing programs. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is just fantastic partnership with Columbus Libraries.
Great.
See, I never know what's going on close to home. It's always, I always.
Well,
so,
also this
so
week.
So I'm learning all this great stuff.
Hey, go to Franklin Park this weekend. They've got the Asian Festival going on.
Another one.
That's another great recommendation. Yeah. 614-292-8513. And Linda from Westerville, what recommendation do you have?
Well, mine is kind of old, but I am so grateful. When I was a single mother with a 6 and 7 year old daughter, I wanted to go camping. I love to camp, but I was worried about safety. I didn't want to buy all that equipment. You know, I didn't have a relative in my family close that had it. And we went to this beautiful little lake in the Springfield or Dayton area where the tent was all set up for us and with cots inside and everything you could possibly need, and it was so inexpensive. I heard about it at the fair, and I've just been so grateful for that ever since, because without that, we wouldn't have been able to have the camping opportunity. Plus, you know, there were boats to rent, and we could row around the lake. And
okay, great.
It was just great.
Thank you very much, Linda. And Steve, do you know where exactly
you're
talking about?
Well, that was probably Buck Creek State Park. And the State Parks has a rental camp system that she mentioned. You can actually go in, and it's very inexpensive. You actually get the whole camp set up. You don't have to have it. You can give it a try, or you can just use, you know, their equipment every time you go. But it's a great program for people who might not have all the equipment, want to give camping a try. They also, at some parks, have even rental RVs, if you'd like to try the RV. A few places have yurts, and then they have camping cabins, again, where you bring your own supplies. But the cabin is there for you to sleep in. And it's a great program through state parks. And that's at parks all around the state.
Great. So if you're a little bit more like me and don't know the first thing about setting up a tent, that might be an option for me, unless you have someone like John Ross along with you to set up the tent for you, right?
For Amy, I would suggest the lodge at Mohican.
Yes, I vote
the
for the lodge myself.
Yeah,
but that's
we'll be in the lodge, yes.
Well, I just think that's, you know, I really like that Steve brought that up, because I think there are a lot of things in Ohio that provide kind of an entryway for people who are sometimes intimidated by, you know, safety issues or, you know, equipment costs. And I feel like that's one of the reasons, you know, we were talking in the first part of the program about why Ohio was awesome. And it is a place where, you know, they have these, you know, things in place where you can, you know, they're encouraging you to go out and try something that may be a little scary, you know, and you don't have to spend $10,000 on gear to climb Everest or something. It's like this is a place where you're able to try new things, and there's a really good, like, safety system around you and a system that keeps costs down, which I think is cool, especially in the state parks.
This is All Sides Weekend on 89.7 NPR News, and I'm Amy Jurovich. Where do you visit each summer in and around the Buckeye State? 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. This is All Sides Weekend on 89.7 NPR News.
John Waters describes himself as a cult filmmaker whose core audience consists of minorities who can't even fit in with their own minorities. He's best known for his films Pink Flamingos and Hairspray. On the next Fresh Air, Waters talks about his book Role Models, the stories of people who've inspired him, from Johnny Mathis to Tennessee Williams. Join us.
Today at noon on 89.7 NPR News.
Support for 89.7 comes from Thurber House, kicking off the 2011 Literary Picnic Series with its annual Thurber House Treat Contest, June 8th, inviting writers to try their hand at a Thurber-related theme. More details at thurberhouse.org.
This week in This American Life, who do you guys think is going to have the highest score?
I'm going to go with Jane.
Jane.
Our staff heard that there's a test that could literally measure whether or not you're a psychopath. So we took it, and we tried to predict who would score the highest.
I'm going to go Robin.
I'm saying Robin, too. Well, now I'm going to change mine to Robin, actually.
I know. I think I'm the dark horse. I do. I kind of think it's me.
This week.
Saturday afternoon at 1 on 89.7 NPR News.
I'm WSU General Manager Tom Ryland. While the future of public media is at risk due to governmental cuts, you've got the power to keep 89.7 NPR News strong. To make your gift, call 866-897-9678 or visit WOSU.org.
This is All Sides Weekend on 89.7 NPR News. I'm Amy Jurevich, and we're discussing ways to enjoy the great outdoors in and around Ohio. 614-292-8513. That's how you can join the conversation. And in the studio, we have Columbus Alive's venture columnist, John Ross, Columbus Dispatch travel writer, Steve Stevens, and also Columbus and Franklin County Metro Parks information manager, Peg Hanley. And I wanted to talk a little bit, John, about you wrote a story called Wake Nation about wakeboarding. I want to hear about that.
Yeah. You know, a lot of people want to go wakeboarding. They don't have a boat. At Wake Nation, that problem is solved. What's really interesting is it's one of kind of a national trend of cable wakeboarding parks. So what you do is essentially you're on a traditional wakeboard and you've got your little pulley system, but it's connected to an overhead cable system with towers, and basically it pulls you around and around a giant lake.
You're making this up, aren't you?
No, it sounds like super futuristic, and in some ways it is. Basically, you know, you get your wakeboard on, and you're holding onto this handle that's attached to a cable that goes about 40 feet up, and like this little pulley system comes around this cable and kind of attaches to the thing you're holding, and it pulls you off the dock, and you got to lean back, and then basically you're off, and you're going around like a little track that's made of water.
Does one imbibe with a beverage, adult beverage, before attempting this, John? Or?
I would recommend not doing that because it's fairly difficult to get the hang of at first, but then once you get it, it pretty much
difficult being dragged around by a giant metal.
I'm thinking Steve bowl. Wants to try this out. So where do we need to go?
It's down near it's just on the northeast corner of Cincinnati, and there's you know, for beginners or somebody like I went and I had never wakeboarded behind a boat or otherwise, and I got the hang of it within like 20 minutes. So it's not as crazy hard as it sounds.
So 3 days for me.
Okay. So a little less complicated than wakeboarding, maybe. Steve, where do you like to go to maybe perhaps canoe or kayak?
Well, I love canoeing and kayaking the Darbies because I actually am fortunate enough to live on one of the Darbies, and Metro Parks has great facilities there. They've got some great put-in places on the Big Darby, and it's a beautiful local resource that I cannot praise enough. That's why I live there.
And I have been canoeing with Steve on countless occasions.
Oh,
I can
yes.
tell you
no,
on every
tell
one
me
of those
stories.
He has gone into the water.
Oh, Peg, you had to
well,
bring that up.
Well, maybe one. Maybe one you didn't get wet.
I know I still have a picture that I think you took of mm-hmm. me going in the water, so... But that's a whole other story.
Peg, tell us a little bit about at Scioto Audubon. You have a ramp there, right, that you can go into the water, right?
Right. If you have a boat, a power boat or that, you can, you know, just back your car in, put the boat in. You can launch a canoe, a kayak there. And then if you're into fishing, you can head up to Main Street Dam, and you can get anything from sawgeye to walleye to crappie. So that's a cool little place to go. For that type of fishing.
614.
And there's a bait shop right around the corner, too. Oops.
Don't forget the bait. You need the bait. 614-292-8513. Aaron in New Albany, what is your recommendation for the summer travel season?
Well, first of all, I want to second the Little Darby Creek is an amazing place to kayak down. And I was actually just down at the Audubon Center, shot the Scioto down to about Grove City just last week. And my Memorial Day weekend will be spent on the Cozing Water Trail. That's where I'm taking my kayaks with my better half. So.
And where is that? Why do you like that area?
Just very quiet. It's separated from every city around you. We usually put in around Mount Vernon. Danville is a great area to get in as well. But the scenery around you, it's a smaller stream in Ohio, but still gorgeous. It's not overly populated. You know, you get a lot of things there that you can find in larger streams, say out west or something like that, but without the city fanfare and things like that. So.
Okay, thank you very much, Aaron. And was it called the Kokosing? Is that how you say it? Kokosing right. Water Trail?
Yep, I did that. The Kokosing River Water Trail is just absolutely beautiful, as Aaron said. It's very remote. It's very pristine. It's a smaller, very manageable for paddling. You've just got kind of like big swaths of sycamores kind of bending over the river bends, and there's a great livery down there too. If you don't have your own boat and you want to get away and kayak one or two days, Kokosing Valley Camp and Canoe is a great place to start and get outfitted. They also have a campground there, so they'll take you upriver about 10 miles. You can canoe down or kayak down and then camp there, and then do another 10 the next day if you want.
I was also talking to John about the Muskingum River, and this is a really unique paddling experience. Put in around Zanesville, and you actually go through a series of hand-operated locks. Mm-hmm. That were built, I believe, in the mid-19th century. The state now owns them and operates them on weekends. And you can actually paddle all the way from about Zanesville down to Marietta if you want. And there are also some camping sites along the way. But these amazing engineering feats from the mid-19th century, these hand-operated locks are just – it's fun to go through in a canoe or a kayak.
And we have Farley on the line. Farley and Hilliard, what would you like to recommend?
Hey, Jay, I've been camping. I've camped at a lot of campsites, and we have a fun little thing we do. It's called squirrel fishing, and it is hilarious. You go get a jar of plastic peanut butter, and you punch a bunch of nails hole in it, and you get about 100 feet of fishing line, and you throw it over the hill from your campsite, put it on a bell, and the bell starts ringing, and you know that old boy, someone's at the end. And you just pulled it a little bit at a time. Before you know it, you have Johnny Raccoon, Mr. Possum, the occasional Mr. Skunk, Mr. Squirrel. What they do?
And that's good eating.
Squirrel stew, yum.
They chew the bottom of the peanut butter jar off. And like I said, my buddy here, I had a raccoon at my campsite years ago. He was covered in peanut butter, and we all just laughed at him. I mean, he was a mess. He had stuck his head all the way into the can of peanut butter, and he was literally 10 feet. From the campsite, he's like, man, look at you. You are a mess.
All right. Well, thank you for that interesting recommendation, Varley.
I don't think that's legal. But
PETA's going to be your next call.
I think we should probably say that the state parks and the metro parks would not recommend feeding peanut butter to the critters. But sounds like fun. Probably he said he was doing that with his son, so I'm sure that was very entertaining. 614-292-8513. Heather, what would you like to recommend?
Yeah, it's just here in Central Ohio. Several parks offer movies in the park. I know Pickerington Sycamore Park has them on Friday nights, June through August, and Easton has them on Tuesday nights, and they call it Movies by Moonlight. And I know that Westerville Community, where the White Barn is, I can't remember what park that's called, but they offer it as well through the summer, and it's free and it's fun, and the kids running around and playing is just so much fun to watch, and so the free part is what I like the most about it.
All right, well, thank you very much, and I know that the Wexner Center also has drive-in movies where you walk up. You don't actually drive in. So that's a great way to enjoy the outdoors as well. We got an email from a listener who says that he heard the Finger Lakes being mentioned for paddling. Where are some other prime spots for kayaking around Ohio?
I just went to a beautiful, perhaps the most beautiful place I've ever been in Ohio. It's down in Jackson County. It's called Lake Catherine. It's part of a state nature preserve down there, very pristine. It's a spring-fed lake, and it just has, along the shores, just giant, thick, lush hemlock forests and sandstone cliffs and outcroppings up to 70 feet. It's amazing. It's clear. It's cool. It's calm. It's quiet. A couple of things that I would add about that is that it's a permit-only paddling lake, so you have to call and get a lake use permit for the day, which, you know, is kind of an obstacle for people, but it's also one of the ways that it stays so pretty and so clean and so unpolluted. And the other thing, too, is you've got to, you know, it's only for paddling, so that's nice. So you don't have to, there's no competition with water skiers or anything like that. And the fishing is amazing, and the sightseeing and the wildlife watching are just absolutely top-notch.
And Peg, is there another metro park or any other area you'd like to recommend for kayaking that we maybe haven't mentioned yet?
You can actually take your kayak to High Banks and go into the Olentangy State Scenic River, and it's just wonderful. You've got big trees that will surround you. If you're a angler, you can get out, maybe catch some fish in the riffles and that. So I would suggest High Banks as one. I would also suggest, it's not a metro park, but up in Milan, the Vermilion River and the Milan River are some great places, too, up in northern Ohio.
614-292-8513. We have a few more minutes in our summer travel discussion on 89.7 NPR News. And we have Patricia in Delaware recommending another local outdoor activity.
Hi.
Yes. What's your recommendation?
Hi. My husband and I have gone for many years to Picnic with the Pops down at the
Chemical Abstracts Lawn?
Yeah, Chemical Abstracts. I wanted to say Battalion. I knew that was wrong. Chemical Abstracts. And that's a great place to go. You can take your own picnic. You can also, if you want to reserve a table, you can do that. But it's fun to sit out on the lawn, too, and bring your own food and enjoy the music. It's always wonderful. We especially enjoy the Buckeye Band at the end of the summer, their last one, when they join in with the Columbus Orchestra.
Great.
That's a lot of fun. And I wanted to comment on something one of the callers called in before about going on the Cocosing River and camping at the campground down there. My girlfriends and I have gone down there in campers and taken our own canoes or rented kayaks down there, and we've done that trip, and it's a lot of fun. But I think right now, any of these waterways, I think people need to be aware that with all the rain, these waterways might be closed.
Yes.
Because it's too high. So
that's
they need to call ahead and make sure that the river or the water area they want to go is open.
Yes, thank you very much, Patrice. That is a good recommendation. I had that written down, and I meant to mention it. So are some waterways are probably too high because we've had a lot of rain.
Yeah, you don't want to go. I mean, Darby Creek's
Darby's
right
high.
Now. Yeah, too high. So, but in a week or so, assuming the rain ever stops.
Well, the weekend forecast looks pretty nice. But speaking of the rain, it does unfortunately rain from time to time here in the summer. So, how about some recommendations of some indoor activities that you could maybe plan as well? Museums or maybe some of the historic sites could be.
Absolutely, the historic sites, and we've got a bunch of great ones. The Air Force Museum, thanks, Peg, for reminding me of that. That's a free attraction, one of the great aerospace museums in the world, and it's 50 miles from us. So that's one that's easy to forget because it's close to home, but it is really a fabulous experience.
Do Peg or John, do you have any favorite museum or any favorite indoor activity?
For the metro parks, we have three nature centers, and they're great. They have windows on wildlife where you can watch birds, exhibits inside, snakes, all types of things. So if you want to, stay a little bit dry, that's where I would go.
I think people should hike in the rain, which is one of my one of my absolute favorite things to do. But I wouldn't suggest a long hike. Maybe try the beautiful Spring Creek Trail at Sharon Woods, which is only a couple of miles. You'll be under some thick forest cover for a lot, and then you just burst out and you see one of the most amazing fields I've ever seen. In the summer, under the sunshine, it's just exploding with wildflowers and buzzing with insects, and it's just thick and lush. Right now, it would probably be on its way there, if not at, you know, at peak conditions. But hiking in the rain isn't so bad.
I believe you. I believe you.
It's great for photography.
Right.
I mean, you've got that overcast, and if you're a,
if you can keep the water out of your equipment, exactly.
Hey, that's you in a canoe, Steve. We're going back to places we don't need to be.
And well, we have time for one more quick call. Rachel in Columbus, what's your recommendation?
Hello. I was looking for a place for a single woman to kind of go alone and decompress. And I found the Deer Creek Lodge at Deer Creek State Park near Mount Sterling.
What did you like about it there?
I went to a conference there and made reservations the same day. It was quiet. Balconies were private. And you could look out onto the lake and just kind of sit, read, and relax for a couple of days.
All right. Thank you very much, Rachel. So Deer Creek, anyone want to add to her recommendation?
No, the lodge there, it really is a nice lodge. They have a good restaurant. The state park, resort parks that have lodges, I believe there are seven of them, they're all great places to stay. We were joking about the difference between camping and staying in a lodge, but there really is a big difference. I mean, it's like you're staying in a nice hotel, but in a beautiful setting. Deer Creek is very close, too. And again, it's something that sometimes I think we overlook because it is so close.
So
but
close.
It's a nice park and has a great lodge, a great getaway, especially for single folk or families.
I think the cabins at Lake Hope, too, they have the little baby cabins. Mm-hmm. I've stayed there alone. They're half the size of the regular cabins, and they got a kitchenette. Very safe. And
okay. So we have about 30 seconds left each, maybe a little less than 30 seconds. One more quick recommendation for either this coming up Memorial Day weekend or just somewhere to plan to go this summer.
Well, I can't wait to get up to the lake, Lake Erie, and get out. I'm actually planning a camping trip later on South Bass Island this summer, and that's going to be fun. It's a great getaway. It's an overlooked resource. You go up to South Bass, yes, and Put-In Bay. You can also, it's known for a couple of its nice historic bars, which is another aspect of history we can get into, the long bar and the roundhouse, and so it's a great place.
John?
Yeah, I would recommend going down to A.W. Marion State Park and doing the really fun, very flat, very scenic Hargis Lake Trail. It's about 5 miles. It's a great afternoon.
And Peg?
Since we can't get our gardens planted, head over to Inniswood and check out what they're doing, because they're obviously doing something I'm not doing in my backyard.
Great. Well, thank you very much. This has been All Sides Weekend on 89.7 NPR News. Thanks to Steve Stevens with The Dispatch. Also, thank you to John Ross with Columbus Alive. And thanks to Peg Hanley from the Metro Parks. And also thank you to Sal Piccinari, our producer today. And also thanks to Leticia Wiggins, the All Sides intern. This is WOSU 89.7, WOSU HD1 and WOSU 820 Columbus, and streaming online at WOSU.org. 89.7 NPR News, a service of WOSU Public Media.